In July 2020, as America reeled from lockdowns and riots, the CDC quietly published a detailed operational plan for nationwide quarantine facilities targeting those deemed high risk, titled Interim Operational Considerations for Implementing the Shielding Approach to Prevent COVID-19 Infections in Humanitarian Settings. The document outlined forced relocation into isolated, quote, green zones at household, neighborhood, and camp levels. Insider and whistleblowers allege the entire scheme was engineered years earlier as the centerpiece of a Hillary Clinton presidency rollout, a calculated plan to herd the unvaccinated into nationwide concentration-style camps and break them into compliance through isolation, deprivation, and psychological pressure. Essentially, dissenters funneled into concentration camps.
And sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure. He's only in it for himself. He's now defending himself in civil actions and criminal actions. And when do they break with him? You know, because at some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, but something needs to happen.
The official document may have surfaced under Trump, but the original intent, according to those connecting the dots, was a far darker permanent medical tyranny ready to be unleashed the moment the right administration took power.
Get vaccinated.
The most important thing you can do to prepare for your holidays is to get your updated COVID vaccine. And if you get it now, you'll be protected in time for winter holiday gatherings.
President Biden has again tested positive for COVID-19 and is back in isolation. Just last week, the president tested positive for the virus. He experienced mild symptoms and was treated with Paxlovid.
As the unelected Bill Gates and his bloated private influence and high-level government briefings steered the policy.
The presence of social media plus a pandemic is a combination that's never been tried before. And, you know, nobody would have predicted that I and Dr. Fauci would be so prominent in, you know, really kind of evil theories about, you know, did we create the pandemic? Are we trying to profit from it? And on and on. And so, you know, I'm very surprised by that. I hope it goes away. I hope it doesn't hold back, you know, mask wearing or seeking out vaccines.
Despite claims it was a humanitarian project, the language mapped a scalable system of containment with zero precedent, going far beyond the temporary measures Americans actually endured, revealing an institutional willingness to warehouse American citizens under the banner of public health. The document detailed community buildings with a single entry point for meager food and supplies, zero free movement in or out, 2-meter distancing even from visitors, a complete ban on religious services, dedicated monitors watching every move for, quote, compliance and, quote, stigma, and cold contingency plans to stop the inevitable suicides. Authorities planned for community backlash and potential violence if people resisted after their freedom was sidelined for supposed safety. America was just inches away from permanent medical concentration camps. The original trajectory would have gone from prolonged restrictions to mandatory measures, all while the Mockingbird media cheered it on. The document stands as stark evidence that COVID-era controls were designed to be far more sweeping and enduring than what ultimately materialized, raising enduring questions about the CDC's institutional mindset and the thin line between safety and the mad leap towards totalitarian control. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Welcome back. Second hour of War Room. We're going to continue the COVID discussion. We're going to get into more of it. I want to play Rand Paul talking about Bill Gates.
You've talked about Bill Gates. Is he someone you'd like to talk to? He was in high-level meetings shaping America's COVID policy. You also, after last week's hearing, mentioned other people surrounding Fauci that you would be calling in potentially to the Hill.
We're going to call his assistant, who said she deleted a lot of his records. As far as Bill Gates, I think the most important thing we've learned so far is that he wants to find and identify all the viruses in the world. It sounds noble at first. Sounds like it might even be a good idea until you think about it. So if a virus is buried 300 feet underground in bat guano, 15 hours away from a major city in China, does it make sense to take a virus that doesn't interact with humans very often and bring it to a city of 15 million people? So I think that that idea of Bill Gates is a bad one, but they do more than that. They take the virus to Wuhan, and then they mix and match parts of that virus with other viruses, and then they try to infect humanized mice. This whole procedure can train or push the evolution of a virus towards infecting humans. So they call it virus identification, but in the end, it has elements of gain of function and is actually very dangerous.
It doesn't just have elements of gain of function research, which of course is making something more transmissible, more infectious, ultimately more severe because it's going to eventually mutate. This is gain of function research. That's what they are involved in. This is what they're proud of doing it. And, you know, when they get caught, they just either lie or get issued a pardon or both, and it's all good. And you're like, Rex, shut up. You're 23. You're bald. You're retarded. You don't know what you're talking about. Bill Gates must be a scientist or a PhD. He must like run a college or something. Oh, no. He dropped out of college. He's got DARPA connections, Intel connections, all of it. He brags about wanting to reduce the population of entire continents and wanting to shoot missiles of dust into the sun to block our atmosphere. He's just like some random supervillain type guy. And people hear that and they don't want to believe it because it's too fantastical. But I can tell you right now, I think it's one of, if not the leading cause of polio in Africa, is this little gremlin's vaccines. Like, here's the thing. You want to say Black Lives Matter? You want to care about like minorities and people just around the world that are oppressed? This guy might as well be the Grim Reaper. If you're a little black boy or a little black girl in Africa, this guy might just be like Freddy Krueger to you because he comes to your town. Oh, it's with the UN. It's all good. They're going to give you free medicine. They're going to put this thing up your nose and it's going to keep you from getting really sick, keep you from getting paralyzed. And then their life is over. They're done. They die or they're a cripple. They never walk again. Isn't that liberal and loving to the black people? Black lives really matter there. Now, don't they? And you know what you might say? That's a cruel thing for you to say. How dare you say that? My great grandmother, who I knew well, my Gigi, she received polio from the vaccine. From the, I think, the nasal thing that they gave him back then, but it's still a vaccine. My great-grandmother, that's what happened to her. She spent her entire life, she lived into her late 80s, early 90s, I believe, late 80s. She died. She spent her entire life from her late teens, early 20s, up to being like a very elder senior citizen in a wheelchair because of the poison in the vaccine at that time. And if it happened back then, and they lied about it, it's happening right now, and they're lying about it, in my opinion. So it's not liberal and loving just because he's got a fluffy sweater, just because he got different color socks, just because he might call you racist and say you're not liberal enough because you don't support his genocidal policy. You know, he's actually the problem. He's actually the person trying to do these things because he thinks he has the right to do them. I had another thing got lost here. Here it is. Look at this. Isn't this liberal? Just in, for the first time, AI has designed complete viral genomes, producing 16 functional viruses that infect bacteria and pose no threat to people. Okay, well, do we believe that? Do we believe that they cause no threat to people? Do we believe they don't make people sick just because they say so? Oh, the computers say it's okay. The computers say it's all right. The computer says we're going to die, but that's liberal. And I don't understand how people can believe it. Let's go ahead and go into clip number 15. Stephen A. doesn't believe it anymore. Play it.
That he should be embarrassed for the self-adulation that he engaged in? You damn right I do. Because some of the things that he was telling us to do was inconsistent with science, but he was telling us it was science that led to him making the decisions that he made. Masking, 6 feet distancing, the closing of his businesses.
Yep.
Forcing businesses
right.
to push those mandates upon people like me and others. Because I took the vaccine and I took a booster and I wore a mask. And we were told, hey, you ain't going to get COVID if you do that. And I got COVID. And damn it, it almost killed me. Going into 2022, I'm in the hospital 90 minutes before the ball is about to drop. And the doctor says, we've been at this for 3+ weeks. You got double pneumonia. You look really bad. If this antibiotic and this steroid does not work, Mr. Smith, I'm sorry, we're going to have to call your family. It looks that bad, but we should know in 3 hours. And through the grace of God, 3 hours later, I felt better after they gave me that steroid and that antibiotic. But those were the longest 3 hours of my life because I thought it was over. And I remember I had done exactly what Dr. Anthony Fauci was imploring us all to do.
It's actually really powerful stuff right there. And what he's talking about with the steroid and the antibiotic, I watched that heal my grandparents of the Delta variant combined with ivermectin because that's what the doctor gave them, right? The doctors that weren't listening to Dr. Anthony Fauci and the lies coming out of our CDC and NIH, right? The people that actually cared about their patients, people that were willing to treat them during that time. It was a completely different era. You think back, it was really hellish conditions we were under. We're under the boot of these people, under the boot of Big Pharma. And, you know, my co-host, Tim Tompkins, on the Gray Area. Go ahead and pull up Gray Area on YouTube, guys. If you could, please follow us there. I'm live every Thursday, every Sunday. I also do a morning show, New American Journal. But Gray Area, Tim is from New York. And that's what woke Tim up, is he realized they were lying about COVID. They were lying to him. And Tim took the vaccine. And he's aware now, he's awake now, he's seen the truth about what the monsters like Dr. Anthony Fauci and others have done, and he's mad that he wasn't given informed consent, that he was lied to about COVID, right? Because he was told, you know, you're going to kill grandma if you don't take this, and ultimately, he couldn't go to school unless he took it. Now, you can say, oh, you should have known better, whatever. Well, you're not him. You know, he wanted to be an engineer, wanted to go to a great school, he had the opportunity. But you got to take the shot, and taking the shot is liberal! Taking the shot is liberal. It protects grandma. You're a good person if you take it. Tons of people fell for it. Look at Stephen A. Look how angry Stephen A is. And here's the thing. This is going to be, it already is the mainstream opinion, right? But this is going to be like incontrovertible. This is just going to be fact within 5 years. People will demand justice for this because more people will continue to die. That is the reality. And Stephen A, it sounded like he got it. Like the vaccine didn't protect him. Sounds like it didn't work out so well for him. Sounds like Dr. Anthony Fauci lied from the very start about every single piece of this, from the origin of the virus to the origin of the vaccine to the effect of the vaccine. And ultimately, millions of Americans like Stephen A, because of this issue, they're aware now of government corruption to the extent of they'll kill American citizens to make profit. That's literally what all this is. They wanted to sell you a cure to something, and they wanted to make you sicker in order to justify it. That's why they sent sick people to the nursing homes. That's why I told you don't go outside, don't get vitamin D. Don't be healthy, don't interact, stay inside. Think about people that lost money, gambling, everything horrible that happened in that time period, especially around 2020 to 2023, right? That's not fair to do to people. That's not loving. That's not a free society. You don't get to treat people like slaves. And people are realizing now that they were treated like slaves. And people don't like being treated like slaves, especially not when it comes to their body. You know, my body, my choice. You know, the pro-choice slogan, the classic, you know, and I pro-life, I disavow that 100%. But, you know, my body, my choice. Well, how about that for the vaccine? How about that for the vaccine? Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Can we apply that principle equally? Because all these people, they say that all the time, all the liberal-loving people that push these death jabs on us, right? They say it 24/7. You know, can they agree with that? My body, my choice with the mask? Oh, no, they put the mask on. They pointed at people in grocery stores and told them, put your mask on. I had some fat Mexican lady tell me to put a mask on in like 2022. And I was either at the Walgreens or the CVS on South Lamar. And I just laughed at her. I said, you have diabetes. And I made it, she didn't know what to say. She's kind of people go like smoke start shooting out of their ears. And like the clerk or the client's like, you got to put a mask. Like, I'm shopping. Like, what, are you going to make me put a mask on? You're going to call the police? I know, but mind your own business then. I'm doing my work. I'm here to get whatever. So you just had to be free. And you really had to live in a place like here where it wasn't truly draconian. It was just everywhere was empty, where you had to exercise that self-actualization as a citizen to be like, I'm not putting up with this. I'm not tolerating this. But in a lot of places, especially in the North, a lot of people didn't have that opportunity. And I think a lot of us that were lucky enough to live in the South and live in places that were more conservative, more red and more free. I think a lot of us, you know, sometimes we denigrate people that have received the shot. And I'm really against that because you have to understand this is just one of dozens, hundreds, thousands of societal programs that get run on us to propagandize us, to control us, to confuse us, to make us sicker, to make us die more. Because the goal ultimately, as Michael Yon said, is depopulation. And that's what all this is about. People are expensive. We'll have data centers and robots soon. We won't have any of these problems. You know, maybe we have COVID-25 and maybe it wipes everyone out except for the elites. Maybe it's a wonderful liberal thing. You know, if they can convince you that it's liberal and loving for Bill Gates to give black people polio in Africa and be like one of the leading causes of it, if they can convince you of that, hashtag Black Lives Matter, hashtag Bill Gates, he really truly believes that, gives them polio, then they can convince you to believe in, I'll take another vaccine that'll give me cancer. I'll take another injection that'll put chemicals from Big Pharma in my body. They'll keep doing this to you. They'll keep doing it to you over and over and over again. I don't think the American people are going to put up with it much longer. I want to go ahead and play clip number 17, which is just a funny, not true, but funny statement from Trump. As illegal aliens go home, the cost of rent is coming down very fast.
And as illegal aliens go home, the cost of rent, groceries, and other staples is coming down very fast. Our costs are coming way down. You know, they talk about affordability. I took over the country. The prices were through the roof. In my first day, the press said, what are you going to do about affordability? It was a word they devised, affordability. They never used that word before.
I don't know if that's true, Unc. This is one of those things, like, if they can convince you to believe that inflation is good and housing prices going up is good, if they can convince you of that, it's pretty much game over. No one buys it. No one believes that. Of course, you can say marginally in some communities, maybe that's true. What about the people that have a H-1B visa and they bought homes with 30-year mortgages back in like 2022, 2023, when it was like 2, 3, 4% interest? What about that? Oh, no, we're going to bring 600,000 Chinese immigrants in. That's going to fix the problem. Let's go ahead and play another delusional statement from a GOP leader. Clip number 13, Mike Johnson.
Record of success. The reason that your taxes are lower than they've ever been, the reason you have more money in your pocket, you didn't have to send it to Washington, is because you elected Republicans
to
do that.
But the reason your gas prices are higher and your fertilizer cost is higher is because of decisions made by this administration.
Well, you can say it that way, or you can say that we took the head off the snake and we prevented the largest state sponsor of terrorism from having a nuclear weapon, which they were dangerously close to doing. I think most Americans understand that was an important priority. Now, we do need to get that settled out. I think we're in process of doing that right now. We need gas prices to stay down to planet Earth, of course, and I think we'll do that. But overall, the conditions were put in place. Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, summarized it pretty well at the end of last year. He said, 2025 is like setting the table. He said, 2026 will be the feast and the banquet in the economy for hardworking Americans. And we did that in our legislation. We put the conditions in place. In the first quarter, the economy was beginning to take off like a rocket, and then we got into this skirmish with Iran. Okay, so
calling it a skirmish.
War, whatever you want to call it.
Good boy.
It's a serious situation. I think we're getting close to resolution as we sit here today. There's big developments.
I mean, listen.
All right. So there's been big developments since the end of the 39-day war and the period of the MOU, right? And what he's saying there is, oh, things were great. Yeah, you had a good platform. And then the skirmish happened. He can't acknowledge it's a war. Trump has called it excursion, detour. Other terms have been involved. But skirmish now is a new one from Mike Johnson. We spend $100 billion on a skirmish and they won't give you a wall. They won't give you mass deportations. They won't give you a tax credit to homeschool your kid. You know, wouldn't that be a skirmish? It's not a big problem. We could probably do like, when I hear skirmish, I'm like, okay, like a skirmish is something they could probably do like 10 of, right? Well, if we could just spend $1 trillion, we'd fart that money out. It's way more than a trillion times 10. By the way, it's like $113 billion price tag for the 39-day period of the war. And that doesn't take into account bases, blah, 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 blah. If we could do that, can't we just spend $1 trillion on the American people? Can't we just do kind of like a little bit of everything they want? Oh, no, 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 no. We can't do that because even though we'd still steal most of the money, we can't steal all of it. And the quickest way for us to steal all of it is to get the U.S. to inflate its defense budget even higher, to buy more weapons that won't be ready for a decade and don't even work. Liberal. You know, we get the vaccines that cause the real serious problems in development just for everybody. We get the mRNA self-replicating technology, which destroys your body and self-replicates the spike protein, myocarditis, all these other things on record. All these people, you look at the insurance actuaries, as my dad always says, and that's where the truth really is. You know, that's just one of the things that we got cooking for you. And after that, we got a war for you. And after that, we got taxes for you. We can't ever spend that $1 trillion here at home. We got all these things to run against you. They're very expensive. And once you start to look at it from that lens, that perspective, it'll all begin to make a bit of sense because they spend money on things that are very important to them and their agenda, just not you and yours. And the signaling, the voting, the thing that we got with Trump, I think prior to that, all the elections that I'd seen, which is just Obama-Romney that I paid really close attention to. But in that, I really saw two men that didn't have real positions. I saw two men that they just were the state. And one side represented one faction. The other side represented another. That's what fascinated me so much about 2016 is I didn't get that same energy from Trump. I think it was genuine and real. And that's why I think he lost money. I think that's why the Russiagate stuff happened. And you can watch it. It's like how you break a horse. You keep it walking over and over and over and over and over again until it doesn't want to throw the saddle and bridle off anymore. That's what happened to him, in my opinion. You could say, as Robert Barnes says, frontal lobe dementia. You could say grandiose narcissism. You could say just like delusions of grandeur, rock star syndrome. I think it goes a little deeper than that. I think it has to. Because like someone around him has had to tell him to stop. Look at that. I mean, that's the Israel lobby right there. And he laid down. He can't fight against Iran. Like, his goose is cooked. He's a lame duck president already, almost 2 years into his first term. Or not first term. Second term. So like that's not the position of strength we thought we were going to be in 2024 coming into 2026 and 2028. And it's really unfair to us, the voters, to have that lame duck, dead horse president, which is just Donald Trump at this point, to have that guy tell us that we're bad and we're the problem in the party, that we have to align more with his values. What do you say? I am MAGA. MAGA means whatever I say it means. Well, if it means whatever you say it means, that's subjective. It means nothing because your values are subjective. One day you say you're the peace president. The next day you're circle jerking with Mark Levin. So and doing total war on his behalf, on Lindsey Graham's behalf, on Netanyahu's behalf, on just the behalf of the entire Israel lobby, right? And the next day you're saying you're this fierce, independent, peace president leader. That's not really going to fly with the American people much longer. So, I don't know. I just think that's where we are. I think it's just very unfortunate that he couldn't realize the reality he had. Yeah, thank you, Trump. F you too. Yeah, seriously, I can't say the F word on this show, but I've said it on the morning show, New American Journal. The idea, the crew. Oh, man. All right, you got me good. All right, you threw up the hillbilly image of the collar last time, and y'all just got me with Unk. Y'all completely discombobulated me there. You hit me with the thing they used on the Venezuelans. Let's go ahead and play clip number 12, President Trump on Iran.
What makes you think this will be different? Because they tend to never...
It may be, it may not be. I think that the threat of this... this was more than a threat. We were ready to go. And, you know, in life, they know when you're ready to go and when you're just bluffing. No, we were ready to go. And we are ready to go. We have to do this.
Liar. He's got 7-deuce offsuit. Overhead shot, please. Trump, Hegseth clashed at Camp David over Iran missile depletion concerns. Listen to this. Trump and Hegseth clashed at Camp David. President Potato, Donald Trump's frustration over the Iran war boiled over at Camp David, where he demanded answers from Hegseth on why he had apparently misled Trump on shortages that now threaten to limit military options with Iran. All right, so this just shows that we are in idiocracy already. It's on the record that we're out of defense interceptor munitions. We still have a little bit of precision strike, but these missiles are gone because we fought a 4-year war by proxy with Ukraine on Russia. And what has Zelensky said? Oh, I need 100 of Patriot. I need 100 of Patriot missile. We only have, like, I think 700 left. How many do we make? I think it's like 800 a year, something like that. We're not going to replenish fully until like 2028, 2031. It's not feasible. It's not rational. They can make thousands of drones, thousands of missiles a week. It's not even rational. So I'm going to keep reading this. The encounter took place on the sidelines of his cabinet meeting. Where Trump vented at Hegseth that he thought munitions issue had been fixed. You can't fix it. You can't pull them out of your ass. It doesn't work that way. Like, an eighth grader, if you made them the president and you said, we don't have enough missiles to keep bombing these people, what do you want to do? An eighth grader would understand the issue hadn't been fixed. You can't generate more missiles. Trump thinks it's like a video game where you buy gems or something and you speed up the timer. According to both people familiar with the conversation, the shortages, particularly in long-range guided missiles and air defense interceptors, have been part of the reason Trump has pulled back from launching additional massive strikes against Iran in recent days. They can't do it. They can't sustain it. There's no amount of bombing that they can do that will exceed what they did in the initial 39-day period of the war. They can pretend like there is. They can pretend like they have some miraculous target. If you look at the range of things like the ATACM, if you look at the range of things like the JASSM, they're not able to hit all the way inside the country very deeply. All right. They have limited options. Anything they do has to really be done by plane. And if it's done by plane, they're vulnerable to Iranian air defense and they can't get hit by any of it because they said the Iranians didn't have any. So we've lost over 40 aircraft since this war started. We've lost all our critical radar infrastructure in the Gulf. We've lost, I think, at least 10 systems in between $300 and $600, I think it's $1 million, close to $1 billion, each one of these things. We've lost our soldiers, lost our troops and bases that Hegseth lied about and said that were defensible, that were never defended. We've lost the Middle East over this. A completely unforced error, a war of choice. That's what happens when you blow up the elementary school and kill their equivalent of the Pope on day one. It just makes no sense. Why would you do it? The strait was open. Why would you do it? We weren't at war. Why would you do it? Because they don't care. They don't care about you or me. They think that they can win because our interests aren't the same. But we're Americans. We want this to stop. I have Jose Vega running for Congress joining me in the next segment. Looking forward to that. Talking some New York politics with him and also just AIPAC in general, his opponent, Richie Torres, many others. Be right back. Rex Jones News with the Z. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram.
Fight for our sovereignty, or to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that. But the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, goes, you're fat. You're your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Vaughn, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but didn't really really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gave back 10, but now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, you'll get Masterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the human, with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission, you got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs, that's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff, it brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Come on now, Bandit. We gotta get this truck on the road.
We gonna do what they say can't be done.
Let's get a move on.
We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound and run a bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some devil bandit breaks. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we're bringing back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down. We gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old bandit run.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the second hour of the War Room. I hope y'all are having a great afternoon slash evening or night, wherever you are across the world. Rex Jones, Rex Jones News on Twitter with a Z. Follow me there on Instagram as well. I'm being joined now by Jose Vega. Jose Vega is a 27-year-old political organizer and associate of the LaRouge movement. Jose worked with LaRouge from the time he was 16 and helped organize concerts, youth choruses, and science programs for young people from the ages of 12 to 18, were taught the ideas of Johannes Kepler, Albert Einstein, and Bernard Riemann. Since then, Jose has intervened against a number of political figures. You're famous, really, for your man on the street action as well. Economists and think tank leaders such as AOC, Mike Pompeo, Kamala Harris, Richie Torres, Hakeem Jeffries, and the editors of the New York Times, Reuters, and the Washington Post. Quite the rap sheet, you know. Jose ran against Richie Torres in the 2024 election as an independent candidate in New York District 15. He is running again to bring an end to the two-party system in the U.S., which has brought us nothing but forever wars and financial bailouts. Jose was raised in the South Bronx and believes that true change can come from people realizing the better traditions of the U.S. Republic. Jose, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Alex. What a great, Rex.
You're good. Here's the thing. I was hosting the Alex Jones Show last week. It is my middle name, right? It is literally my middle name is Alexander. So you didn't even get it wrong, technically, but go ahead.
All right. Good. Great. No, well, just thank you. It's a great, great introduction. Where'd you get that from?
I don't know. I think Daria put this together. I think the producer put this together.
Well, as you got one great of a producer. I hope that they're getting phenomenal. A raise. Yeah,
she's great.
Absolutely. No, but yeah, no, it's crazy what's going on out here in New York, what's going on in the world with the war, how it's impacting people. And, you know, just one quick thing for people to know, you know, the interesting thing about the district that I'm running in, it's actually the poorest congressional district in the whole country. Like, there's parts of Mississippi that don't even have plumbing or, you know, certain infrastructure that's just basic. And somehow this area is poorer than that.
Wow. So Richie Torres, he's got a very lucrative campaign, right? He's had a lot of cash infusions from, you know, various entities, shall we say. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because, you know, you hear these stories of politicians who get gobs of money, right? And it's like, well, what exactly do you do with all that money apart from running for Congress over and over and over again? Well, instead of focusing on that, Politico actually put a hit piece on me. And they were coming at me because of the fact that I disclosed that my salary for a year is about $26,000 to $27,000 a year. And that's gross pay. That's before I pay my taxes, which go and kill children in Gaza or are now funding Pete Hegseth's wild fantasies. Politico puts out this hit piece on me saying I might be too poor to run for Congress and that I shouldn't even be paying myself while I'm running for Congress. Meanwhile, what we've uncovered is that Richie Torres is taking all this blood money from AIPAC. That was known already. But we actually figured out how the consultant class corruption works. What he is doing is he's giving his money that comes to his campaign. That's AIPAC money, Wall Street money, blood money. And he's giving it to his financial director, this guy named Jeff Larrivee, who then is using that money to pay himself with his own consulting group. And then he's paying his husband through another consulting group that his husband owns. And then they're paying each other because they both co-own another consulting group called Ramble Group LLC, where they're both co-owners of. So this money is just going into their hands. And not only that, they are billing the Torres campaign, they're billing Equality PAC and their consulting groups about $15,000 a month for rent, okay, for a $2 million home in Washington, D.C., and they own four homes in Washington, D.C.
I want to get into this because people will say, Rex, you're talking to Jose. Jose's running in District 15. Like, why are you talking? You're in Texas, right? Richie Torres is one of these swamp creatures, right? This guy is like high on the list. This guy has taken tons of blood money. You've confronted him in person. He's completely like vacant robot, just wants to support genocide and get the check. Get into why he's important to know about, just as one of these other, you know, swamp creatures like Mike Pompeo or Hakeem Jeffries.
So this guy is like bought and paid for by Israel. You can say that about most congressmen,
right?
But this guy specifically, before he was in Congress, when he was in the City Council of New York City, Israel was flying him out to Tel Aviv. Yeah, that's a video of me confronting him, telling him that everybody hates him. But I was confronting him in over the fact that he was getting trips paid to Israel and Tel Aviv, the fact that he was meeting with people like Yoav Gallant here in the district. By the way, he brought Yoav Gallant, one of the worst Israeli war criminals, to the Bronx. And it's the fact that the people of the Bronx demand that they want somebody who's actually going to listen to them, because, again, their situation is so bad that the majority of the people that are living in the South Bronx are living underneath the poverty line. And this guy talks about Israel 300% more times. This is something that a real calculation that we did. He says the word Israel 300% more times in the Congress than he talks about the Bronx. Then he talks about his own district and he talks about the United States. And this guy is completely disgusting. Not only that, he's the top fundraiser for the Democratic Party right now. The Democratic Party is collapsing. It's got a whole bunch of debt. Richie Torres is one of their saving graces right now. So we go after him. You go after the whole establishment, basically, because that's what he represents.
So he's a linchpin. He's a linchpin figure.
Exactly. He's very pivotal to he's not just some nobody congressman who just kind of gets by. Like, he is like moving and shaking things in the Congress. And he is sort of like the go-between for all of this dirty money. And he's important for the that's a good picture, but for the connection between Israel and the United States.
And it's bizarre and sick that we have this 51st state thousands and thousands of miles away. And that's really who he represents. And I think he's pretty open about that, too. So I think if more people hear about this and understand we have an American, somebody that I've heard you quote the Constitution at great length, Jose, versus somebody that's ultimately spiritually, I think he identifies as being from Tel Aviv and representing those people over there. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. He's always comes to these pro-Israel events. He's always brought in as like, you know, our guy on the inside, right? He's used as a useful idiot, basically, to continue to propagate war and genocide. In fact, he's not an apologist for war. He's an advocate for war and genocide. In fact, it goes beyond Israel, too. It's not just Israel that he supports. He was one of the early people saying we need to give money to neo-Nazis in Ukraine.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was saying that we need to start war with over Taiwan with China, that we need to bomb Iran. He said no one should shed a tear for the fact that we just killed the Ayatollah, you know, and it's kind of wild, right, that the people in this district who I speak to don't want war. And yet Richie Torres is like the number one cheerleader for it. You know, this guy is like one of the absolute worst congressman when it comes to foreign policy altogether.
But he's a great example of they all go where the money is. And he's very clearly, it's like you say, you're talking about like four houses, talking about various LLCs, sounds like to me, speculating shell corporations and various things. That shouldn't be the intent of getting into politics. I know that you're upset, just as I am, to see our country degraded and destroyed, and that you actually want a better future. So how do you compare contrast your values as to his? Does he have values?
He has no values. His values are whoever's paying him the most money. You know, we have this funny saying here about Richie Torres, like, okay, maybe he can't be bought, but he can be rented. And the thing about him is that he's going to listen to whoever has the biggest check, whoever has the biggest pocketbook, whoever has the most money to give to him. That's who he's going to listen to. And if you are poor, you cannot afford his time. You cannot afford his attention. Not only that, he detests poverty. He's one of these people that came from it. He grew up in a project in poverty. And as a result, though, he's learned to detest it, reject it, and wants nothing to do with anyone who's in it. And that includes the people of his district. As a result, though, what we are doing here in the Bronx compared to this dude is we are exposing the fact that this guy is making his friends millionaires. You know, this is actually kind of a breaking story that Mel had exposed.
Go into
the fact that he's it's the fact that he's like, you know, making his friends super rich, and the fact that he's got $15 million in his bank account, which is what, or his campaign bank account, which is what he's, you know, using to stay in power. He's also giving that to other elected officials, lower level elected officials. So, for example, he's giving a couple thousand to the state assemblyman in the area, the city councilman in the area, to the state senators in the area, so that they'll continue to support him and endorse him. And the problem is, here's the problem. None of this is hidden from the public. Like, you can go find this. You can go to the FEC website and you can type in who's getting the money. The question is, who's going to enforce it? Who's actually going to hold up the law, right? Because what I have come to discover, especially in the last decade, is that the law is meaningless unless people are prepared to actually put it into action and uphold justice. You know, because justice isn't going to come from above. You know, the Trump administration right now is completely co-opted. So who's actually going to bring that justice? And I'm thinking it has to come from the citizenry. It has to come from ordinary people like ourselves. You know, I don't come from some political dynasty. I don't come from, you know, like, my mom's not a film director. You know, that's
let
a
me
jab
get into
at,
it. Let me boil this down. This is why everyone needs to know. Is because when you see somebody like this, it's advocating for taking money for propping up genocide and war crimes and ultimately destroying our country in the interest of a foreign power, you know, prioritizing them instead of us. When you're on the street and you see that person, no violent action ever. We're peaceful people, never advocate anything like that. But you say, hey, why do you support genocide? Why are you killing little kids in Gaza? And when everyone says that to you, when the person you're getting DoorDash says that to you, person that you drop your kids off at school says that to you, you know, like people will do that because that's where we're getting. When there's a global depression that's already happening because of all this stuff, it's going to become unacceptable to have these positions to be somebody that supported war crimes. I mean, you're saying he was happy about the Ayatollah being killed?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He after the Ayatollah was killed, he put out a tweet that was like, no one should shed a tear for the Ayatollah. He was this, he was that, he was all kinds of awful things, you know. And of course, he has to do that Democrat thing where they have to be anti-Trump, right? You know, and he has to pretend to be against Trump's actions, even though he was just celebrating the fact that the Ayatollah died and his Israeli handlers told him to be completely happy and optimistic about it, you know. But yeah, this guy is just completely bought and disgusting. I mean, he's one of Ben Gavir's cheerleaders. You know, he's
kidding.
A big fan. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding.
Explain. No, like, we cover Ben Gavir a lot on the network. My dad calls him like the vampire teeth. I think that's his nickname for him. Go ahead and read this to the audience if you wouldn't mind.
I have two, this is Richie Torres, I have two sets of thoughts, one regarding the Islamic Republic of Iran, the other regarding war powers. First, the Islamic Republic of Iran has been the gravest threat to peace and stability in the Middle East. It is a murderous oppressor of its own people, the world's leading state sponsor of terror, a rogue regime armed with dangerous ballistic missiles, and until recently, a threshold nuclear state.
Hold on. It sounds like he's talking about Israel. That's what's so outrageous about all this, right? It's like there is a nuclear power in the Middle East that is destabilizing and funding terrorism, right? On record. And they're not a signatory to the NPT. They don't have to deal with nuclear regulation. And the idea that Iran, when 19 intelligence agencies said they're not doing it, and when two CIA independent assessments said they weren't doing it, the idea that the Ayatollah, the guy who banned the bomb, killing him was going to somehow prevent their nuclear program. I view it all as a self-fulfilling prophecy. And we got Ben Gavir, I call him Cartman 2.0, up there on screen right now. Look at him. He's right there. He literally says, burn all of Lebanon. All of Lebanon must burn. For every one of our mothers that weep, 1,000 Lebanese mothers must weep. And I played the clip. I think it's just like some random settler guy or whatever on the last show that I did, where the reporter goes, well, how many Palestinian lives is a Jewish life worth? Like 100,000? He says, no, 1 million, no, 10 million. And it's just, there's no equivocation. You can't do that stuff. It's monstrous. Everyone's equal. We're all human. We're all created in the image of God. And to prioritize one group over another just because you have more guns and you have more political capital, I think the world will come to see this really as the new 1930s. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. I think it's, you know, Israel likes to, and the United States likes to say, we're trying to prevent a theocratic nation from having nuclear weapons. There's already a theocratic nation that has nuclear weapons, and it's Israel, right? And then when you ask these neocons, when you ask these warmongers who are in some kind of power or have some authority, or like Ann Applebaum, who have some think tank somewhere who think they're legitimate, they say, well, Israel's different because they're our ally. Oh, yeah, really? Are they really our ally? Who's ally? Because they're not my ally, right? You know, I think it's kind of embarrassing, actually, that all the blackmail material that Israel has over the current Trump administration is allowing them to get away with whatever it is they want. And to the fact that we were about to do what, Section 219, or in the Senate, Section 1217, yes, which was going to merge our military intelligence and technology with Israel.
And he wrote it right there. That's the author. He bragged about it in a letter. Literally, that's the king of America. Yes.
I wish more people knew that, too, that Netanyahu wrote a letter to a congressman like saying, oh, I want to thank you for a great dinner that we were having where we, you know, I said that we should absolutely do this and you agreed and now you're putting it in legislation with this section. So very good. I approve of this. It's like, why do we need Bibi's stamp of approval before we do anything in regards to, you know, how we vote in the House of Congress, right? It's completely disgusting. And that's why I'm happy that this humiliation ritual of bending the knee to Israel, it has to come to an end. And I think it will come to an end. That's what makes me optimistic, because people are waking up every single day.
Yeah, Trump is very symptomatic. He's very like as Uncle Sam for the country. If Trump is like, I'm a virus, I'm going inside. Like he's very obvious. Like Lady Liberty, Uncle Sam is sick. Right. And America sees it. And I think now that we're more symptomatic and we're going through this pain, I think more people are realizing it. And I just think the reality, everyone has a cell phone. Right. So everyone has a cell phone. Everyone can look at like literal war crime, like the worst footage ever. It scars everyone that sees it. Literally all of us, we should have never have seen this stuff. We're so desensitized. We tolerate it. I think people are reaching critical mass as to where they don't want to be morally lectured by somebody that supports that.
Yes, that's right. And I think that right now it's more important than ever that people continue to follow independent media wherever it exists, like you and this show all together, our friends like Dude Dissidents, Jimmy right. Dore. You know, there is a real renaissance, I think, of real independent media where people are now getting their mainstream news. I'll share with you a funny story. I was in the hospital about a month and a half ago, and the doctor treating me, you know, it was a pretty private thing that happened to me, but the doctor treating me, he goes, yeah, all right, Mr. Vega, you seem to be good. We can discharge you. By the way, I didn't finish listening to your podcast episode on Dude Dissidents this morning. And he shows me he was listening to me on a program. Now, I say that not because of like, oh, it's me. No, it's because people, sure. everyday people, from your doctors to DoorDash drivers, like you were saying, are becoming aware, are finding different outlets, alternative outlets around the country now, and are saying, you know what? I don't want to fall under the mind control anymore of the mainstream media. I'm tired of being lectured by people like Joe Scarborough and Rachel Maddow. I want the truth. And that's what's happening right now. There's a real rebellion happening. And so hopefully one of those ways that it can manifest is people right. helping us out too.
And that's because the establishment is so concentrated both on the left and the right of funding, supporting this war, that it exposes really the two wings of the same bird theory, which is the reality of American politics. And that's why people say, oh, two-party system, the institution. Well, how's the institution working out? How is that working out for everybody? I think that's the key question. So, Jose, where can people support you? Where can people find you? Go ahead and tell them about your website, more about your campaign, and where that will go should they choose to support you.
So people can go to votevega.nyc. That's my website. People can sign up to do two things. They can either donate or volunteer. Both of those things are extremely critical to any congressional campaign. If people donate, what that's going to go towards is mass printing of leaflets, posters, and signs, because we are going to expose the fact that Richie Torres is using campaign funds to illegally make his friends super wealthy, giving them thousands of dollars, and the fact that they are paying their own rent on a $2 million house with people's money that they are giving, but also with blood money as well. It's a conflict of interest. It's completely illegal. And in a sane country, Richie Torres would be gone. And if people sign up to volunteer, they'll be helping us distribute this material. They'll be helping us put up the posters. And also, if people want to help and be a part of possible future commercials that we want to put out, we want to basically propagate the airwaves here in the Bronx. Completely shutting out Richie Torres, completely painting him as the monster that he actually is. And the other thing too is we want to turn people into interventionists. You see me getting dragged out of an event right there.
Right.
What we want to do is we want to turn people into that. We want people to get active, you know?
Right.
You
no, it's not violent. It's peaceful. You're exercising your First Amendment right. That's your God-given right. The state doesn't have any right to control what you say. You're not making a threat. You're not slandering anybody. It's literally the truth. It's not defamation if it's true. Like literally, they're war criminals on the record bombing a little girl's school. And like you need to go yes. to a city council meeting or like a congressional meeting or whatever and tell people that peacefully, politically, nonviolently.
Absolutely. No, you have a responsibility to use your First Amendment right. You have to right. use it because you'll lose it if you don't use it. And you have to tell the truth. You have to speak up at events where there's a congressman in front of you, where there's some, you know, it's something that they're missing. You have to be the voice in the room who stands up and says, wait a minute, the emperor has no clothes. Wait a minute. Trump said that we weren't going to go into wars when he was reelected. And now look at us. You know, we're about to go into another Vietnam era style war. You know, you have to look at these people and call them what they are. You have to call them liars to their face. And you have to record it, too, because courage is infectious. Courage gets other people out of the door, out of their beds, and it gives people hope is the other thing, too. And it shows that we don't just need to sit around and complain. It shows that there is a viable change in the atmosphere that people can feel and says, I have to stay on. I have to keep fighting for a better future. I just need to intervene and do something because anybody can stand up and tell the truth.
100%. I think that's why the broadcasts are so key, because we put out the information for free for people. They can choose to support us, but that accessibility versus these companies, corporations, same like big pharma, big ag, big military industrial complex that really, you know, in my opinion, all the same interests own and heavily fund, you know, things like the media. We're putting this stuff out and people can choose to receive that information, and they watch it at work. They watch it, you know, at college. They watch it, you know, just during daily life around the house, whatever. And you just reach a point where you realize we don't really get to have a world unless we talk about this, expose it, and ultimately stop it. And the people that have adopted the system, that are in our government or have taken the deal or whatever in the bureaucracy, you name it, in the private sector, hurting the American people, like, or in just form, wherever, they think that it's all going to work out well enough for them to get away from it. They think it's going to be something as we can get enough distance between us and whatever catastrophe we're going to cause. And it's just going to hurt the little people. But I got a newsflash. We're all little people. Like, life is very fragile on this planet. And by doing these wars, by doing these genocides, by causing this chaos, you know, we can just wake up one of these days and Moscow launches a nuke because they're tired of getting long range missiles inside from Ukraine. Right. And what happens then? What's the calculus? What's the decision then? All the people with the campaign ads, all the people with the promises, all the people with the big smile, where are they going to be? I know where you're going to be. I know you're going to be defending the Constitution and not getting us in these situations. That's why you're my friend. That's why I want to have you on the show. I want to get into a few more things. Can you stay for another segment? You do sure. That? Another 5 minutes at the beginning of the first hour and then maybe another 23?
Okay.
I want to talk about your views on the Iran war and your views on Ukraine. We do have that breaking report of Zelensky freaking out, demanding hundreds of Patriot missiles, which is just like asking your parents for a dragon for Christmas. You know, it's not going to happen. It's not real. We barely have hundreds of them anymore. So we're going to be covering all of that and more. I want you to go to thealexjonesstore.com as well. I want you to check out our methylene blue. I want you to check out our ultimate life force. I want you to check out the power drive bundle from thealexjonesstore.com. Those are two products that I created. That's Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You can think of Power Plant as the new and improved Super Male Vitality. You can think of the Methyl Drive as the new and improved version of DNA Force. And the Methylene Blue, if you're already taking that, that's also in the stack as well. We have all of that available for you at thealexjonesstore.com. These are amazing mitochondrial health dietary supplements. We have the Ultra Methylene Red, CoQ10, methylated methylcobalamin B vitamin, so much more. That's got the cordyceps, that's got the rhodiola rosea, the zinc, the boron, the selenium, everything if you're deficient, which most people are, to raise testosterone and free testosterone. Jose, I'll send you a care package. I made these two supplements. I'll send you the Power Plant and the Methyl Drive. They're very, very popular at the store. And we'll be right back after this break. Thank you all. Rex Jones, I'll see you in the third hour.
Dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
Methylene Blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Abe, I think this is my favorite Alex Jones shirt.
Dude, I totally agree.
Founding fathers on patrol. Washington and Lincoln rocking the latest Alex Jones shirt, marching past America's monuments. Liberty is awake. Visit thealexjonesstore.com now.
دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.